Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is with us. I'm glad she's here, too. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's here with the Kiplinger Letter this week, this week's Kiplinger Letter, to talk to us about what they're saying is going on in the world these days. Joan Pride, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And, of course, I'm continuing to broadcast live from New York City, from Midtown Manhattan.
Boy, and, the wonders of modern technology. Wow.
Exactly. Hey, Joan, you grew up not far from here, didn't you?
I grew up in Connecticut, yes.
Oh, that's right. Danbury, right?
Newtown, near Danbury.
Newtown, okay. Yeah, well, that's only about, what, 30 miles away or something like that?
From New York?
Yeah.
Well, it's about an hour and a half to 2 hour drive from New York.
Oh, is it? Okay, I was thinking Danbury was a little
closer than that. I was born in Greenwich, which is maybe an hour at the most from New York.
Yeah. But not very hard. But you're a New Yorker.
No, I'm a Connecticut Yankee.
All right, whatever. Hey, Joan, Connecticut Yankee. I like that. Hey, Joan, I want to read this first line to you from Kiplinger and see if you're buying this. Believe it or not, over the long run, consumers pulling back is a good thing. Joan, come on.
We're trying to put a positive spin on this.
So the doctor says to the gentleman, sir, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is the arm's got to go. I mean, the bad news is the arm's got to go. The good news is you won't have to worry about that tendonitis in your elbow anymore. Right?
Right.
Is that what you're trying to say here, Joan?
Well, you have to look at how the consumer managed to stay on this buying spree.
Yeah. You and I talked about that over the years, didn't we?
Well, the whole point is that the debt that they got into.
Right.
I mean, it's not wonderful that they're pulling back, but it's good that they're cutting their debt.
Well, you know, Joan, the world is kind of looking askance at the United States because they think that we created this global recession that we're in right now.
Yes.
But I seem to remember, Joan, you and me reporting on the global slowdown back in the early part of this decade. And you and I praising and deifying and lifting up to the heavens the American consumer, which basically was keeping the... There was one point in time, John, I remember a period of weeks where you and I and others believed if it had the American consumer, we could have gone into a deeper global downturn than we have right now. You remember that?
Oh, absolutely. That the only thing that keeping us from that was the American consumer.
And there were a bunch of perfect storms that happened. We had tax cuts here. We had accommodative situation with the money supply here with the Fed. We had consumers, American consumers, who liked to shop. We had people in other parts of the world who were saving more money and giving that money to us,
right?
To lending it to us, so to speak. So it kind of all rolled into something that was good in the early part of the decade.
But didn't we always say that it would be unsustainable at some point?
Yeah. The chickens have come home to roost, haven't they?
Right, exactly. They have.
And so so now comes Kiplinger trying to put a good spin on this. Joan, now that I've had the taste of chocolate chip cookies. I don't want crackers. I want the chocolate chip cookies back again. So talk to us about the consumer share of GDP, where it was at one point. This is amazing.
Well, it used to be 71% of GDP.
Of our national gross domestic product.
And we say it's going to... Well, the funny thing is we say it's going to slip back to 66 to 68%, but that still sounds like a lot.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Could we say, Joan, that the consumer spending, I know you're probably going to laugh at this, but I mean, I think it's appropriate to say that from 02 to, or 03 at least, to 08, consumer spending was overheated, wasn't it?
No question. That's right.
And it wasn't just coats and shoes and watches. It was real estate too.
That's right. Oh, absolutely.
And not just spending, but borrowing.
Right. And borrowing based on how wealthy they felt because of the high stock market and also high land and housing values.
Right. Right. So Joan, if the consumer is going to drop from 71% of GDP, which is really high, and in other countries, John, but I think the countries the consumer spending is probably not even 50% in a lot of other, it's like European countries.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, if you go to those countries, Joan, if you travel abroad, you know, you see the difference. I mean, in America, you're never very far away to spend some money. In Europe, you can go places in Europe, and there aren't convenience stores on every corner. They're not shopping centers on every corner. There's not.
Really?
It's not that commercialized over there.
Oh no.
Even today.
Wow.
So the consumer spending in other countries is a lot lower.
Yeah.
We like that here. We have a consumer economy, so we like that. But you're saying that it's going to only go down to maybe 2/3 of GDP instead of over 70%.
Right.
And that's not too bad. But you also report on something that's going to take up, that you think is going to take up the slack. Talk to us about that.
Interestingly enough, exports. We say that they're going to grow about 5% in 2010, which is okay. But they're going to shoot up after that because other countries around the world are going to be coming out of their recession and wanting to buy American stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, and that'll be good, Joan. I mean, one of the things that's happening in other countries is something called the middle class, isn't it?
That's right. Which they didn't used to have.
Right. There's a middle class in India. There's a middle class in Brazil that's emerging. I think I've told you before that my friend Ted Fishman, who wrote the book China Inc., says that the Chinese middle class is the size of the United States population.
Wow. That's something.
Well, that's exciting. And see, now then, Joan, you come back to something I've been talking about for a long time, to American businesses, and that is to remind them 95% of all customers on planet Earth are not in the United States. So that's something to think about. We'll take a quick break. Joan Pride is going to be back with us right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, 20 after. We'll be right back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, and my website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We booked it just for you. You want to read, you want to listen. We got lots of stuff you can do there in 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the Small Business Sun. You got questions, you can ask them there at askjim.biz, which is right off the homepage. You can check out my blog, which is right on the homepage. You can subscribe to my newsletter, also right off the homepage. And we'll send that newsletter to you every week by email on Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead. And I'm on Twitter if you want to follow me there. At Jim Blassingame. So check that out. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And we're talking, Joan, about the impact that the American consumer has had on the U.S. economy and what it's probably going to go back to, what it's going to go to. And there's some reasons for that, aren't there, Joan? I mean, credit has diminished quite a bit.
Right.
And so from back to your approach to this topic, Joan, the Kiplinger approach,
right,
is probably a good thing that consumers are not spending as much because that means they're also not borrowing as much. We've got to deleverage this country a little bit, haven't we?
Exactly. So that's kind of the little bit of a silver lining there, if there is one.
Yeah. But you say that exports will help.
Right.
We talked about the global consumerism that's growing a little bit, and I think that's a good thing.
Right.
But exports only work, Joan, to our advantage when the dollar is kind of depressed, and so a lot of people are worried about the dollar, the devaluing of the dollar. But the lower the dollar is against other currencies, the better it is for our exports.
Well, that's right.
And my friend Bob McTeer, former president of the Dallas Fed, likes to say, give me a stronger dollar, but just not right now. But not quite yet.
He's trying to have it both ways.
Yeah, I like it. Also, business meeting, and I thought this was interesting. You said by the second half of next year, look for firms to be ramping up in their equipment purchases. I hope that your prophecy comes to pass, Joan, because up to now, business spending has been off.
They've really been on the sideline, that's right. And so that would be, and we're saying bumping up investment by 1%, which would be terrific if true.
But the thing is, and this just ties right into your next point, Joan.
Right.
This comes back to what I've been saying to people on this show now for several months, is yes, we are coming out of the recession. Yes, we are emerging into a recovery. Hopefully it will become an expansion. But don't get too excited about the pace of this thing, because as you guys report this week, and as the facts, I think, on the ground relate to us, this is going to be a more deliberate and a slower pace coming out of this recession. What do you think?
That absolutely, and there's no question about that. That it's going to be a much slower, gradual return to growth.
Well, and you've even given us some years there on how long you think it's going to take. And this is a tough statement here, Joan. Tell us about it.
Well, the problem is it's going to take about 4 years for the transition. Because what we're saying is transitioning from the consumer carrying most of the load to businesses carrying more of the load.
Yeah, yeah. 4 years, ladies and gentlemen. Now think about that. The reason why I think that's important, and you may say, well, I don't believe that. I don't like that number. I think we're going to come out of it quicker. I've heard this other guy who says we will. That's fine. Okay. I'm not telling you who to believe. You need to follow your own guide, your own thinking. But I will tell you that there are some systemic things in place that are going to cause this recovery to before we get back to anything like what we had in 07, for example, Joan.
Yeah.
Most of the people I'm talking to, I'm listening to, are saying we're talking, 2012, 13, maybe even 14.
Right.
And there's a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of over leveraging that we've got to absorb. This has been a pretty good economics lesson for a lot of folks, hasn't it, Joan?
A tough one, but a good one, yeah.
Well, think about it. I mean, we've had all this leverage. We've had all these good times. We had the party. Now we've got the hangover.
That's right. Wow, that's a good analogy.
Well, I didn't think of that first. Somebody else came up with that, but now we're dealing with the hangover, and this is going to be a long hangover.
Right.
Economic pace, you guys, will be distinctively subpar. You're just a little Pollyannist today, aren't you, Joan?
Right. We started off Pollyanna at the beginning of the lead, but now it's sort of petering out here.
Right. Well, you pointed out that the recession, the last time we came out of the recession gangbusters, but
right,
not so much this time.
Well, that's true. And usually GDP, I guess, goes really right out of the box as when you're coming out of a recession. But this goes back to the point we were just making, that this is going to be a much more gradual, slow emergence, and you're going to have that nagging problem of unemployment, high unemployment continuing for quite a while.
Well, and the unemployment is not going in the right direction. It's easing. It's not going up as much as it was, but it's still going up.
Right.
And that's a huge, Joan, the unemployment situation is the 800-pound gorilla or the elephant or whatever in the living room that we can't deny.
Right.
That's just something that's got to be dealt with. Inflation is a big deal, folks. We're going to talk about that. This is the real quandary. This is something that seems to be a little more nebulous to a lot of folks. We're going to talk about inflation right after these messages. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Joan Pride is our guest. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about the most recent Kiplinger letter. And Joan, one of the last things you guys make on the letter, first page of the letter this week, is your comment about inflation. You're calling it a silver lining. You're saying it's that we're going to have subdued inflation. We actually have subdued inflation right now, don't we?
We do.
It's only, what, about 1.5 or some? I mean, it's just not very much.
Yeah, it's very, very low.
But isn't this the one thing? I mean, of course, this is the one thing that the Fed fears the most, for inflation and deflation. They try to keep an equilibrium as much as possible. But Joan, isn't this the one thing that seems to be the combustible element of all this recovery we're talking about? In that we don't have high inflation now, but I hear a lot of people, and it makes a lot of sense to me to say that before too long, with all this government spending and all this money that we're printing, how could that not be inflationary? What do you think?
In general, in a recovery, you want some inflation because that means the economy is heating up again. But the Fed's trick, of course, is always to try to keep it from overheating.
Right. And so, consequently, Joan, and this is another cautionary tale for small business owners, Joan, is that as inflation heats up, as the economy strengthens, and inflation goes from being benevolent to malevolent, the Fed's going to start raising interest rates.
That's right. And the question is, when is that going to happen? I don't think that's going to happen this year, but at some point next year, if things are going really well, it kind of has to happen.
Well, and here's the other thing, Joan. If inflation heats up too much, and as the money from the government, all this extra money kicks in, it's already going to be out there. You're going to have to do something with it. You have to find a way to rein it in. They're going to do that with interest rates, Joan.
Right.
And cutting back on liquidity. And that's going to do two things for business owners. That's going to reduce access to capital, and it's going to increase the cost of capital.
Right.
And so we talked about deleveraging a minute ago. A lot of people that deleveraging is something that business owners should be thinking about in the future, not getting too far out on the bleeding edge.
Right.
With their debt.
Sure.
So folks, just we're just kind of reporting on what's going on. You can use your own judgment there. Joan, let's talk about these global forecasts.
Okay.
Quickly, the world, you're saying from -2% in 2009, the world is going to go to +3% GDP.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Because you're going to have
a lot
of
That's 5 points.
We say there's going to be a large number of countries, if you go down this list, that are going to go from a negative position to a positive position from this year to next year. So we're expecting a lot of recovery around the world, I think.
Including the U.S. We're going from -2.7 to 2.0 next year.
But that's not nearly as dramatic as some. Look at the United Kingdom, a -4.3 to a +1.4. Japan,
right,
a -5.6 to a +1.6. Wow.
One thing I notice is that there are no negatives in your 2010 column in terms of GDP.
That's right. Now, in some of these, the growth is kind of anemic, like in the UK and Japan and in the Eurozone, three really major areas, but it's all positive.
Well, here's another thing, Joan. Our two biggest trading partners, Canada and Mexico, are going to go from 7% negative to 2.5% for Mexico.
Right.
Canada from 2.3 negative to 2.3 positive. I mean, our two biggest trading partners, that's good news. That should be good news. I mean, we don't have to fly things there. We can take them on trucks.
That's right. Exactly.
So that's good news there, folks. these global forecasts. I hope that's true. But Joan, that kind of growth is what could fuel inflation.
It's possible.
Because some of these other countries have also included some government spending. Guess what? One country is, Joan, China, has done a lot of public spending.
That's right.
They've had a pretty significant stimulus package. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the real estate industry, the commercial real estate industry especially. Talk a little bit about some technology and some other topics right after these messages. Tony Till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
When this whole world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. We're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, as I continue to broadcast live from New York City, from Manhattan, from the Midtown Manhattan, to be more specific. And one of the things I like to do is tell you about their website, Kiplinger.com. They've got a great site that I encourage you to go there and check out. It's a lot of free stuff, but if you want to get a little bit more, you can be a subscriber of their publications, including the Kiplinger Letter, Joan, that you and I talk about every week. And also you got the three biweekly letters, the agriculture letter, the tax letter, and the biofuels letter, right?
That's right.
Those three. And then also that magazine thing.
Yes, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
What about phone number, Joan?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Joan, let's talk about on the financial services industry. One of the things that I've been, and I'm hoping this is some good news, Joan. I hope you brought some good news to one thing I've been really worried a lot about. I've been reading that anywhere from $700 billion to maybe as much as $1 trillion of commercial real estate those mortgages are going to be resetting, like an adjustable rate mortgage on a house. These
right.
have balloon notes. These are balloon notes that come due in every 3 to 5 years or so. And the bank has to agree to renew those, or you got to take it somewhere else. And if there's nowhere else to take it, which is largely what's going on right now, that we could have some huge commercial defaults, Joan, much more than we've already had. But you're saying that there may be some light at the end of this tunnel.
That's right. We're saying that some distressed borrowers in the commercial real estate market will get an easier time renegotiating mortgages because the IRS has eased some rules. It really has to do it with the whole REMIC industry. You know, REMICs are kind of the driving force in this industry, and because the REMIC, the investors in the REMIC pay taxes, but the REMIC itself doesn't. And the problem that if you adjust a mortgage held by a REMIC, that could endanger their tax status. But the IRS has stepped in and said, no, we're not going to challenge that, so that these modifications can go forward.
Right. Well, and there's one other thing, Joan, and this is just a practical, you know, you're talking about some tax issues, which are very important, but the other thing I think that's involved here is that some of these loans that are coming due are subpar,
right.
And that's the reason why the bank doesn't want to loan them again
right.
to them again. Mm-hmm. But if they're subpar, when you lose your funding from one bank, it's very difficult to go to another bank and move a subpar loan. So what's going to happen is these owners, these mortgage holders, the mortgagee, they're just going to come in and toss the keys to the banker, and the banker doesn't need to be in the real estate business.
Yeah, the banks don't really want to be holding all this real estate. That's a big pain in the neck for them.
Right, right. So another thing that's going to probably have to, but at the in that loan meeting, there's also sitting there a regulator who's saying, this is a bad loan. You need to get it off your books.
Right.
So what's going to happen is the bank may write down some of that loan, but they may have to renew it at the same time. And so it's complicated, folks, but the thing is, I'm hoping that just the fact that the banks don't want to be in the commercial real estate business will cause them to want to work a little bit closer with these companies, with these borrowers. So hopefully, with a little bit of luck, maybe and some help from the government, hopefully, you know, the commercial real estate thing won't be as bad as we were afraid it was going to be.
Right.
Joan, let's move down and talk about this tech-savvy section you've got. Is your company getting slammed unfairly by anonymous web comments? Are you familiar with these, Joan? Have you seen these?
I had not realized that this was happening, no.
This actually happened to me recently.
Wow.
Somebody found, you know, as you know, Joan, we write up the topic of a conversation on the show and post it on the website with the archive.
Right.
And I also blog about these things sometimes. And recently, we found a blog post where somebody took a blog post that I made and they rewrote it and attributed it to me.
Let me ask you this. How did you find it?
Somebody pointed it out. Somebody else found it. I didn't find it. Somebody else sent it to me. And you know, you can do Google alerts that will identify also your name. When your name is being mentioned or your brand is being mentioned, Google alerts will send those to you to tell you who's doing it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's very handy. Yeah. But the thing is, though, is I had one of those as well, and it wasn't a horrible thing that they did, but it just wasn't accurate.
Right.
And we found out that the domain of this place is in Australia.
Oh.
Yeah. So the point is, folks, check on these things. It's as you guys point out, Joan, it's
pranksters?
More common than
Are
you
these
think.
Just pranksters?
But there may not be anything you can do about it.
Yeah.
So the main thing, Joan, is you have to pay attention to what's going on out there so you can deal with it. You can't assume that you're going to be able to operate in cyberspace without and be unscathed.
Right.
You know, it's just something to think about. But one of the things you want to do, folks, is go to Google and go to the Google Alerts and type in your name in that Google Alert. Give it your website, your email address, and they will send you anytime your name or your brand, if you put that in, anytime your name or your brand is mentioned anywhere and Google indexes that page, they'll send it to you, and you can see what's happening out there so you can keep up with all of this.
Wow.
So Google Alerts is a very handy tool. Check that out. Quick break. Joan, we're going to take a quick one. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I promise we'll be back after these messages.
Come from the cities and they come from the smaller towns. And beat up cars with the tires and drummers go crack, boom, bam.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Midtown Manhattan, New York City. Having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Joan, at the bottom of page 2, you give us a report on farm prices, on food prices and the crops, the commodities that our great farmers produce.
Right.
They've had the feast, now they're having the famine, aren't they?
Unfortunately, that's true. It's been quite a drop in food prices that we say has been hitting farmers pretty hard.
Well, they benefited over the last few years from high commodity prices.
True.
Especially corn, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We talked about that was driving food prices through the roof. Now they're having to deal with that. So one thing that farmers, if you're not prepared to take the good and the bad in stride over a period of years, Joan, you're not going to be a very good farmer.
Yeah, and you're going to have the good and the bad. You just have to be prepared for it.
That's exactly right. Joan, one of the things that you guys reported over on page 3 on green regs, you guys point out that there's more proof out there that the Obama administration is going to be a little tougher on business. Can you talk to us about some of these?
Yes. We're saying before the end of the year, EPA is going to propose stiffer smog rules, and these rules are going to force factories and power plants to limit emissions, and that's going to make costs go up.
Yeah. And other things, and I won't go into all of them right now, but folks, here's the thing. You just need to be prepared for this. It's going to cost more from an energy standpoint, all the direct and indirect components to the energy that we produce and that we consume here in the United States. It's going to cost more over the next 3 years, maybe the next 7 years. It's going to cost more to do business than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's going to come from laws, as Joan reported, from the EPA, some tightening of regulations and those kinds of things. So just get ready. I mean, be prepared. It's definitely coming. There's no question about it.
Right.
Joan, let's move over and talk about. Oh, are there any other EPA rules that you want to mention? Anything else there?
Well,
that you,
just very quickly, just because of where I live, we said there's going to be some teeth in the 25-year-old effort to clean the Chesapeake Bay. I mean, to me, that's good news because we need a cleaner bay.
Well, and when I agree with that, Joan, because when I come there and eat the soft shell crab, I want those crabs to be pretty.
You
clean.
Want those Maryland crabs to be there and to be good.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Yeah, but only the jimmies, not the sooks.
Okay.
you know about that, right?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, that's another story. My Marylanders will know that, and the true Virginians, which you know, you're
which
a transplant,
not,
Joan.
Yeah.
You're not a been here. You're a come there in Virginia. Over on page four, Congress. Now, Joan, if I don't get my work done, I don't get paid. How about you?
Same here.
What about Congress?
Oh, well, they're different.
Yeah. What's going on with the stopgap spending
measures? Well, it's typical. They're going to be passing what we're calling a continuing resolution, and that means for any agency where the appropriations bill was not passed, they have to just sort of cobble together something that keeps it going because, you know, the new fiscal year starts today
mm-hmm.
for the government.
So, what was it you called it again?
Well, we call it a continuing resolution.
Continuing resolution. Folks, that's shorthand, or that's another way of saying we didn't get our job done.
Right.
We didn't do our job.
Right.
Right, Joan? Is there any other way to say that?
This has been a chronic problem going on for several years now.
And that's because the work that we sent them there to do is not what they're getting done. They're getting work done that they want to work on, things
right.
that
well,
they want to see, the way
so
they see the world.
It's the polarization,
right?
I think. I think it's the polarization that's the real problem.
Well, but Joan, didn't we used to like gridlock?
Well, I think it's gotten out of hand.
It has, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and there's some... There's some other things coming, folks, with regard to Congress. You can look forward. There's some climate change bills that are about to be passed, but not this year. Probably not this year, you guys are saying. I hope you're right about that, Joan.
Right.
Even though that was introduced yesterday by Kerry and Boxer, but hopefully, I hope you're right. I hope it doesn't happen this year. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Don't forget their website, kiplinger.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, signing off from New York City. Before I go, I want to remind you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.